Hello, and welcome to another episode of A Fireside Chat. My name is Lance White, also known as Zany Mystic, and I am your host. Today, we have one of the foremost scholars on the Mayan calendar, Carl Coleman. Carl holds a PhD in physical biology and has served as an expert on cancer for the World Health Organization. He began his studies on the Mayan calendar in 1979 and now lectures throughout the world. He is the author of Solving the Greatest Mystery of Our Time, the Mayan Calendar, and the Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. He lives in Sweden, where I believe we will be speaking to him live. Welcome, Carl. How are you today?
I'm fine, I'm fine, but you're not speaking to me in Sweden. You're speaking to me in Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, well, thank you for correcting me.
Yeah.
I know it's a little bit difficult for me to hear you, and so it's probably difficult for you to hear me as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
All right. Well, let's just do the best we can, okay?
Yes, I do hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you too. It's just not quite as loud as I'd like.
Right, yeah.
Carl, it seems that there's a lot of focus today on the Mayans and their methods of marking time. Why do you think that might be?
Well, I think it is because today it emerges a new kind of a sensitivity to energies that people were insensitive to in the past.
Uh-huh.
For a long time, for several hundreds of years, people have been insensitive to these changing energies of time. And this is, for reasons that are explained by the Mayan calendar, this sensitivity is now coming back. It was once held by the ancient people in Mexico and Guatemala, and then it basically went into disappearance, but now it's coming back. And as people become more and more sensitive to that, they also seek the kind of explanations that are given by the Maya and the calendar that they used.
For those who don't know anything about their timekeeping, can you give us like a brief overview of how that works?
Yeah.
I know it's difficult because it's a complex subject, but...
Well, I wouldn't agree that it is necessarily so complex. It's just very different from what we normally think of as a calendar and normally you think of as timekeeping. To make it short, it's like a big calendar system where there are a number of different cycles that are within cycles, within cycles, within cycles. There are cycles that are intertwined, interconnected, and they all form part of like a big evolutionary description, you might say. Now, there is one part of this calendrical system that has an outstanding role, and this is what's called the sacred calendar, which is the 260 days, which are combinations of what they would call day signs and numbers. And you should think about these day signs and numbers as sort of qualitative, spiritual energies that are serving to describe and shape the quality of each individual day.
Uh-huh.
And to expand a little bit more of what makes this calendar system special, we should consider then that this 260-day basic cycle, sacred calendar cycle, doesn't correspond to any kind of an astronomical cycle.
Huh.
So it's a non-physical calendar system. And this is really what makes it so unique, that unlike all the other calendars of the world that were based on astronomical cycles, the Mayan calendar, the prophetic Mayan calendar system, is not based on these astronomical cycles.
Oh.
So it's not a cycle. It's not a calendar of the physical material cycles. It is a cycle of the spirit. It is the it's a description of different energies that human beings are responsive to.
Oh.
And as these energies come in, it sort of tends to direct our creativity in certain directions, and this is what it's all about.
What is the significance of December 21st, 2012?
Well, in my view, there is no significance.
Oh, okay.
To that. But there is, you know, coming up here is sort of what's often referred to as the end date of the Mayan calendar.
Right.
And I'm placing that end date at October 28, 2011.
Okay.
And which means that the year 2012 will be a kind of a special special year. Really what it is that, you know, I said that the calendar, it describes a number of energies. Every day has a certain energy, and there's a lot of time periods, other calendrical time periods that are certain energies. And this is what has been driving evolution from the very birth of the universe, from the Big Bang 16 billion years until now.
Uh-huh.
And we're still in this ongoing evolutionary process. But it looks like then that this evolutionary process is heading towards some kind of a completion.
Uh-huh.
That will leave us in a completely different place compared to where we have been previously.
It's coming up in November. We're coming up on the Galactic Night 5 is the period coming up. Is that not true?
That's true.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it's it goes back to the idea of why the Mayan calendar is like a prophetic calendar. The way I look upon it is that there are certain energies that are coming in at certain time periods in evolutionary progressions, you might say.
Uh-huh.
And some of these times, some of these energies are sort of creating a movement forward in some direction. They are sort of a pulse forward. And then there are other such time periods that are sort of the opposite, like periods of rest or even periods of destruction.
Uh-huh.
So you might say that these evolutionary processes, they are like wave movements, where there are steps forward that alternate with periods of rest and so forth. And coming up...
Okay.
So, now it's better?
Yes. So
okay,
anyway,
so
you were saying?
Yes, exactly. Now, this is not a direct... it's not... We're not in the air, on the air, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, we are on the air, okay.
Just so that the folks at home know, there was a technical difficulty with the phone system, and so we had to disconnect and reconnect, but we're back on again.
Oh, okay.
As I recall, we were speaking about...
the fifth night.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So there are, you know, there are certain patterns in...
Uh-huh.
In evolutionary cycles, you might say, that the Mayan calendar describes. There are evolutions that, you might say, in a spiritual metaphor, would go from seeds to mature fruit.
Okay.
And it's developed through certain pulses that are moving things forward according to this higher divine plan.
Okay.
And some of these, you know, the number 13 is crucial in the Mayan calendar, because these progressions are developed and through 13 different energies.
Uh-huh.
And then these 13 different energies are subdivided into seven periods of light and six periods of darkness in between. And that creates like a wave movement of evolution. It's not just sort of a smooth, direct thing. Instead, it's a movement forward, alternating with a movement backward.
Ah.
Or rest, you might say. And this seems to be the way creation is designed.
Uh-huh. Almost like breathing in and breathing out.
Yes. And it's, you know, it's, I think, in order for humankind to, you know, once it's taken a step forward, it also needs to have spent some time to integrate. And
to digest the experience.
Yeah, we sleep in the night. And,
right.
And so that's my way of understanding why it was designed this way, because this is a, you know, design plan from God, if you like.
Right.
And anyway, now, the upcoming fifth night here is usually a very difficult time. Very difficult, I must say, if you go by analogies to other such progressive evolutionary processes.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really like a time when normally you would expect like a big reaction to the new that has been coming in, and so that's, you know, in a nutshell, that's what I expect from that time period.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Carl, that the political elections are held in this November, I think.
Yeah.
Either this November or the next November, but it seems to me that the political system worldwide has gotten so corrupt that it would be hard to imagine it getting any worse.
I think it's easy to... I can easily imagine it getting much worse.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, now, does the period of time when Hitler was around, was that one of the dark nights?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, it was?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
it was.
My.
So, there was a dark night starting in late December of 1932.
Wow.
And then about a month later, there was this big fire in the parliament in Berlin.
Uh-huh.
That became Hitler's pretext for taking dictatorial absolute powers.
So it's
you know, it's a very clear demarcation line there. When the fifth night began, it really was the sort of the starting signal for a very dark age in, especially in Europe, but many other parts as well. You know, there had been prior to that, there's been sort of a wave of new democracies coming in, and then it was all sort of shut down, and a very, very difficult time period, including the Holocaust and World War II would happen.
Wow.
So.
How long will that period last? From November?
In that case, it lasted for about 20 years. But now we're talking of something that just lasts for about 360 days. So, because things have speeded up according to the Mayan calendar.
Okay.
The shifts are taking place much more rapidly, much more frequently at the level that we are at right now.
Okay.
And so that's then... we're talking about a much shorter period in absolute time, but
it could be more intense as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, it's also that you usually don't. You're not really able to see into the future. It may come very, very suddenly because these energies influence people so much, and in that once they are activated or once they come to dominate, it really could be a very sudden change.
And we won't know until we're in it because the energies don't arrive until...
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Where do they come from? Are they planetary? I mean, some people say that the pulses come through our solar, through the sun, through the sunspots, or through the galactic center. And some say that some of it comes through the Earth center. Have you been able to identify where the energies are actually pulsed from and into?
I believe so. And I believe that all of those answers you are suggesting here are correct.
Oh, okay.
But it's the way I look upon it, and that's also the Mayan way of looking at it, is that it is like what they would call a world tree, which is like a huge cross, you might say, at the heart of the universe. That is like the universal creative principle of the universe. And that emits energies. It just pulses them out. Now, but then it is like the world tree then has, it exists, it has resonances on several lower levels. So there is this universal at the heart of the universe, and then there is also the galactic center, and then there is also that is being transmitted down to the Earth, to the Sun, and to the Earth, and then the next step is ourselves, and then it goes down to ourselves, and then it goes down to all the elementary particles and stuff like that.
As above, so below.
Exactly. You caught me before I had time to say
before you were able to deliver your line.
and exactly, that is the line. It's a different way of looking at reality than
yes, I love it. I mean, it makes so much more sense, Carl. It really does.
Yeah. And you know, if you think about it, if you were God and you were to create a universe, it makes sense, more sense to do it this way.
Yeah.
Because then things would sort of fit into their place.
Yeah. And it's almost like a kind of a giant clock or a game in which all the cogs turn at different speeds, but they all align at a certain moment, so that the game gets to shift into another time period.
Right.
You wouldn't want to play Monopoly for 10 years, you know, but, you know, a few hours of it or a night is probably okay.
Yeah.
So you set up a time frame where, you know, at midnight we stop playing Monopoly and we go on to Scrabble. Now, also, you know, there's a couple of other things that are coming up. Isn't there a major galactic alignment occurring somewhere in 2012?
Well, you know, that's sort of not my own view.
Oh, it isn't. Okay.
There was an alignment of the the midwinter solstice sun with the, you know, galactic center that took place in 1998.
Okay.
So that has already happened, and I don't really think it's an important event either, actually.
Oh, okay.
So that's not my view.
Okay.
Other people propose that, but, you know, my work has always been about seeing what does the Mayan calendar mean? What are the energies?
Right, right.
So I'm not really interested so much in what might happen in the sky or stuff like that. I'm more interested in how has human life changed?
Yeah.
As a result of these energies that have been pulsed in from the heart of the universe.
Well, it looks like, I mean, if what you're saying is accurate, then we're about to enter into one of the darkest periods of humanity's existence. And then now after that 360 days, that takes us into the beginning or the day of the... of day six, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's a totally different energy. It's, you know, you might, of course, every level of evolution carries different kind of phenomena. But if you want to make this, go back to this reference to the Hitler era and so, then, you know, when this night is over, it would take us roughly then to the year 1952.
Okay.
And, which was, you know, after this whole ordeal and with the warfare, the World War and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
That's sort of when the world came back to, at least in a material sense, a very productive time period. The 50s and 60s was sort of an ongoing expansion of wealth, and there was this quite a joyful,
yes,
rebellious mentality among young people and stuff like that.
Yes, it was a very innocent time,
yes,
kind of,
yes.
You know. People were happy, and there weren't any cares in the world.
Right.
I remember because I was born in 1950, so of course I'm one of the babies
age
that came in at that time, and
yeah,
you know, it was totally different than the energies are today.
Yes.
So then we would be emerging into more of a peaceful time at that time, and then as the energies quicken, because they're quickening with each successive period,
yeah,
then is there another night after the Galactic Day 6?
Yes, there is then another night.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not sure that I would agree that the sixth night will be more peaceful.
Oh, okay.
But I would agree that it's more of a forward, more of a spiritual time, more of a forward movement, so
okay,
to speak. And but it may be very chaotic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know, we're living in a world that with a lot of dominance in human relations.
Yes.
And now the way I look upon the cosmic plan, as I understand it from the Mayan calendar, it's all about going to a completely different world, which is one of sort of a unity of oneness and non-dominance in relations.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get from one point to the other, I expect a lot of chaos, actually.
Yeah.
But it's more like a matter of being forward movement or backward movement, and in rather than peace or war, so to speak.
That's, I see.
That's my take on it.
Well, also it seems that a large portion of humanity is kind of walking in a daydream, that we're basically asleep.
Yeah.
And that it's going to take some major shocks for humanity as a whole to awaken. Would you say that,
yeah,
that's accurate or not?
Yeah, I yeah, would say so.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I mean, there is a certain portion of humanity that are responsive to these, what should I say, spiritual incoming energies.
Uh-huh.
But then there is a large, probably majority of people that are sort of just looking for their sort of a safe material existence, the way it's always been or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And not necessarily the way they've always been that, but they might perceive it something like that.
Right, right.
And why there are these two groups, and I cannot really tell, but I would say that in many cases, people that are striving for this sort of security primarily, they often will need some shake-up.
Yes.
And these shake-ups may, you know, may lead to different attitudes.
Uh-huh.
Some would simply get depressed, and some will, you know, if something bad is happening, they will put the blame on somebody.
Right.
But then the third alternative is to see that, you know, they have been stuck in some kind of a materialist worldview and been blind to the fact that we are part of a divinely guided evolution.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And take that as their path, and see that there is guidance if you're responsive to it, if you listen to the guidance. There,
yeah,
is guidance, and this is a guidance that is leading us to be part of a fulfillment of a divine plan. And so if there are shake-ups in the existence of many people now, I hope that's exactly the outcome that it will have.
Well, yes, I'm hoping that as well, and it seems that there's a at least there's a core group of people who call themselves light workers around the world who are actively working towards bringing light into the world and helping other people to awaken to higher realities, such as yourself. Now, you mentioned the date that you came up with as the actual end date is October 28th, 2011.
Yes.
Now, how do you arrive at that date?
Well, it's more based on, you know, this is more based on the energy.
Okay.
You know, the traditional archaeological ending date is, as you pointed out before, December 21, 2012. It's just that there are indications that this is not exactly calibrated with the energy changes that it's meant to describe. And for instance, then about a year ago, I made an interview with Don Alejandro Otla, who is the head of the Council of Elders of the Maya. And so he's sort of an authorized tradition carrier.
Uh-huh.
And he clearly says that, you know, there's something wrong with this December 21, 2012 date. So that's what he's saying in this interview. And I'm not leading him into it at all. He just feels that this has been a miscalculation by the archaeologists and so forth. And so he just, I would say, on maybe on more intuitive grounds, rejects it. And I've rejected it myself as well.
That's very understandable.
And
many people agree with the date that you've come up with. And, of course, when people's egos get involved, then they start pointing fingers. So-and-so is right and so-and-so is wrong. But I like to think of it as a window. You know, and the window, we're in it now. We're in the window now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can jump out the window prematurely or try to ride out the storm. But according to the way that the energies are coming in, it looks like we're up for some pretty interesting days in the future. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to ride these energies and survive them, I think. Now, weren't there some discrepancies in the Gregorian calendar based on the date of Christ's birth and then the additional 5 days per year, which couldn't that trim some time off the final end date, or
I don't think that really is relevant. It's been brought up many times, and of course there is a great uncertainty when it comes to the actual time of birth of Jesus so forth. But actually, the long count of the Maya, which is their long calendar, it has been calibrated to the Gregorian calendar the way it is.
Okay.
So I don't think that's really a point.
And then do you have any idea about what according to the cosmic plan, we're moving towards or through some very dark nights and days, but also we're moving towards unity and oneness again.
Yes.
Now, since the Mayan calendar stops at a certain point, do we know what might happen at that date? Or?
We certainly don't know it. And, you know, I think it's also deserves to be pointed out that there is no real sort of ancient Mayan prophecy saying what will happen. So in a sense, we'll have to figure this out ourselves. And I think there's a lot of basis to talk about it. Because if you understand these different energies and can see how in the past they have shaped the course of human history, then you from these patterns, I think you can get some kind of an overall view what is the purpose of our existence and the purpose of the universe to begin with. But it is, I think it should be pointed out, there is no sort of nothing written in stone from the Maya that, saying that what would happen at this end date. So.
It would be easy to want to make some comparisons to biblical prophecies as well. It seems that some of the nights and days that you, the energies that you are saying are coming, would seem to coincide with the biblical prophecies as well. Have you noticed that?
Well, absolutely. I'm convinced of that, and I'm convinced that there are several religious traditions or spiritual traditions that, you know, they hold parts of a common truth. And I, you know, the way I look upon it, these energies that are being emitted from the cosmic heart, they are, you know, they're coming to the whole planet. And each part of it, the traditions in all of its parts are picking up some of the truths that these energies are carrying. But they won't look exactly the same.
Right.
Each one will have a special contribution. You know, I would say that, you know, the Maya, they have this timekeeping contribution, the Native American tradition generally then. But then also, the for instance, the East Indians, they have this Enlightenment contribution.
Oh, yes.
And then you can look at many other such. And then there is the Jewish Christian tradition that I would totally agree with you that it has a lot of very almost identical similarities to the Mayan calendar. And what I think I want to give a few examples of that. One is, you know, there are these seven, the sequences of seven pulses, which is, I said, these are the ones that are conducive to forward movement in creation. And obviously that's what you hear then in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the God created the world in 7 days. And that's it. But then that very same scene comes back in the last book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation. And for instance, the number seven, which then is sort of a crucial numeric determinant here, the number seven is repeated 52 times in the book of Revelation.
Wow.
So I would say that, you know, if there's one simple message of the book of Revelation, it's the number seven. And it's also that, you know, if you read the book of Revelation, there are several sort of descriptions of these pulses. You know, it will say that when the first angel blew in his trumpet, that and that happened. When the second angel blew in his trumpet, so and so happened. And so forth. And this is exactly the same thing as the Mayan progressions through seven pulses. Sort of something is, it's kind of determined to happen when the first energy comes in, and then something else when the second energy comes in, and so forth. So you really have the same basic feeling of a rhythm in both of these sources.
Amazing.
And I also like to point out here that, you know, I mentioned that, for instance, this rough night that I believe we're facing, it will last for 360 days. It's not 365 days, it's 360 days.
Okay.
And that is clearly like the prophetic year of the Bible. And it comes, it's described in the book of Revelation as a time. You know, that's the relative time, the relevant time for these processes. So there are very significant resonances between the Mayan calendar system and the book of Revelation, I would say.
Yes, absolutely. It gives you a whole different light to shed on all of these, and they're coinciding and they back each other up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's talk around about, this is kind of a little bit off topic, but maybe it won't be, about ETs and UFOs. What part do you think that might play in the cosmic events that are unfolding today?
Yeah, it's not... So, my own view is that, you know, the life is created throughout the cosmos from this universal, the cosmic heart, you might say.
Uh-huh.
It has created life for this planet, but exactly the same waves of energies have created life on several other, I mean, probably billions of others of planets and in the universe and even in our galaxy. And I have no question about the existence of this. But I, you know, personally, I've never had any experience of seeing any UFO or ETs or stuff like that. And I'm quite in my understanding of that phenomenon. I'm quite close to a book written that I think was a fantastic book by Graham Hancock. It's called Supernatural and came out almost a year ago, and describes that gives a completely new take on UFO abductions and this whole phenomena. And really, he looks at this idea as something, as a phenomenon that is almost identical with shamanic journey. But that modern people have clothed it in a different language because, we've been in the space age. And so he's pointing to it as something much more as that some people have experiencing this where they sort of are going into the spirit world, they're journeying into the shamanic world, but they come out of these experiences a little bit shocked, unsuspecting, and but really what it's been is similar to shamanic journey. So I'm kind of in that direction myself. I've never seen any UFOs, and so I really doubt the existence of any nuts and bolts spaceships going around like that.
Okay.
But I do believe that there are, experiences. Well, my guess, I think he's providing a very, very interesting perspective that unifies a lot of different perspectives, and that's a book I really recommend.
And that was Graham Hancock?
It's Graham Hancock.
Graham Hancock, Supernatural.
Yeah.
I'll look that one up.
Yeah.
What about the concept that that there are a couple of different universes that are actually merging with each other, and that we're moving, that we're becoming one with another galaxy or another universe? Have you heard that one?
I actually have not heard that one. And it would be, again, I think that's sort of a metaphysical concept that I wouldn't be able to say yes or no to, because, even though I'm in my research, I've been tremendously guided by my intuition and my calling. At the same time, I'm very much stuck with sort of kind of the fact of what we normally call the real world.
Right. Plus, so, you are a scientist.
I am a scientist, and I'm not leaving that, so to speak.
Right. No, and I appreciate that about you.
Yeah.
And your book, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness, is an outstanding piece of work. It's an amazing book, and it's something that I have a little trouble digesting it. It's not that it's not written in scientific terms. It's actually easy to understand, but it's there's a lot to grasp.
Yeah, right.
For a layperson, and it's a fascinating read.
Thank you.
At
yeah.
the, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
At the current time, then we're currently in the fifth day.
That's right.
Okay. And so the energies of the fifth day would mean what? What are
well,
those?
Well, it would mean that it is an opening to a new intuition, a new acknowledgement of the spiritual values and
a new age.
Move away from a purely materialist universe and move towards the feminine, you might say.
Oh, okay. Well,
and
then that would explain why there's so much emphasis and so much movement in terms of, you know, light workers and spirituality and exploration and, you know, movies like The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know and so on and so forth. But now,
I think so, and it's also this. I think we've seen an unusual amount of manifestations for peace, spiritual manifestations for peace. I mean, peace has been that's one thing, but now we're seeing people trying to address this from a more spiritual point of view, in a scale that I haven't seen before, I must say.
Then how do we account for things like the Iraq war and all of the things that are going on, like in Africa, the starvation and the genocide that's going on there? Is that just the planet working out its own cosmic plan, or?
Everything is sort of part of the same overall process. And I think they have to be looked upon also maybe a little bit by each in its own perspective. But the Iraq war, I would say, generally speaking, is more like more an expression of those forces that want to halt or stop or block these new energies coming in. It's not sort of really aligned with the energies, but it certainly is a response to those incoming energies. So that's basically how I look upon that. I think there's a lot of things that also might have, in a sense, gone wrong, and so if you're talking about starvation in Africa and so forth, there's a lot of imbalances that have been created, and because there is such a high speed at the current time of these shifting new incoming energies, things will be very rapidly come to the surface and become turbulent, I would guess, say, generally speaking.
Well, it would seem then that we're making progress on the spiritual ground, but what will happen then when we move into the fifth night?
I don't, I'm not looking forward to it. I've heard people looking forward to it, but I'm not one of those.
No, I'm with you there, Carl. Well, I guess the good news about that is it's only 360 days, and
that's
apparently
right.
The energies are precisely, at 360 days, there's a pulse, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, and of course, we know that it takes time for spirit to manifest through matter, but that the gap is closing. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I was saying
that. So we're actually moving closer to spirit in a sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What would you recommend? I mean, what can you say to the listeners about, how we can live our lives more authentically, given the nature of these pulses that we're under the influence of?
Yeah. Well, I wish I had more good advice. I do look upon myself as somebody who's been able to describe the divine plan quite well.
Yes.
But I don't look upon myself as somebody who knows how to live life. So, I'm faced with the same kind of problem
right. As
many everybody else.
Right.
And just knowing about these things, I think it does help. It does help because it gives you the perspective that this is a, you know, there are waves and the, after the dark will come light, and it's all geared towards this unity consciousness.
Yeah.
Now that's helpful. So
yes, it is.
It is. But how actually to sort of get through it and how to be part of the positive changes, I'm struggling with that myself. And all I can say is, you know, is to truly have faith in the process and to develop your intuition so as to, you know, be able to surf on the waves towards the light, towards the unity, towards the oneness, and which might take that you're actually practicing, you know, spiritual methods for enlightenment or just developing your intuition and going with the flow. These are, of course, very general things, but I think, you know, if you have the actual realistic and factual background of the Mayan calendar, they're not as airy as they may seem.
Right.
It is against the background of that that it becomes meaningful to, you know, have faith in whatever callings you may get.
Right.
And follow those.
And to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
That's right.
Carl, can you tell the listeners where they can reach you and where your website is, in case they, you know, so that they can find your book and your materials?
Right. Yes, of course. You know, my books I would recommend is, my name then is Kalleman, Carl Johan Kalleman, which is spelled Kalleman. And my books then are most readily available through Amazon.com. And of course, many bookstores would carry them, but otherwise Amazon.com would be an easy way of getting them.
Right.
There are two books then, as you mentioned early, Solving the Greatest Mystery of Our Time, / the Mayan Calendar. And then the second book that came 3 years ago, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. And the latter then has been translated to 10 languages.
Wow. Well, I know that, you know, because of your work, we're all becoming quite aware of the Mayan times and this fascinating concept of energies and pulses and the nights and the days, and it certainly makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
Are you continuing to do further research in this area?
Yes, I am. My plan is next year, when it's getting dark.
Right.
You know, I may sort of seclude myself. I hope to seclude myself.
Right.
And write a book. And this will, the topic that I will be focusing on then is actually the issue of biological evolution.
Oh, okay.
So it means like going back to the lower levels of the creation pyramid.
Oh.
And basically, you might say that, I don't have the traditional Darwinist perspective. I think there's a lot of evidence that there is another divine creation process behind what's biological evolution.
Uh-huh.
So that there's an intentional plan behind that. And so that's what I would be focusing on.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And hopefully...
So more shall be revealed.
I hope so. Yeah.
Is there anything that you've discovered since your book came out that you would want to share with us before we have to go?
Well, there's been, since that book, there's been a tremendous amount that have been apparent to me, but it's not really something that comes sort of immediately to mind. I do think we've been able to cover a lot here in this this interview.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Carl.
Thank you.
You've been absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
And again, I highly encourage that everybody get this book, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. It's an absolutely outstanding book, and it's a must read. So thank you for being with us, Carl, and I'm sorry about our little interruption on the phone earlier, but, we managed to pull it off, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right. Best of luck in your book coming in the dark night that's approaching, and thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you very much.
All right. And good night, everybody. This is another Fireside Chat, and we're signing out. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.